You know, just a little bit ago, after the last song, as we typically do, our music director said, okay, would you look to the person next to you and greet that person? And there's many different ways to greet people in person, right? It could be a handshake, it could be a fist bump, it could be a high five or a hug. And while we greet people, normally we say things, right? So you might say, hello, good morning, good afternoon. You might say hi, you might say greetings, sometimes you just might say hey, all right? And there's many different ways to greet people, whether it's face-to-face or maybe you're writing a letter. I don't think we write letters so often anymore. Maybe think of it as an email. And frequently what people do is they will think about what's the best greeting to use and they'll stay with it. And no doubt that's what the Apostle Paul did. Because even if you're just casually familiar with the Bible, you know that as we go through the New Testament and read these wonderful letters of the Apostle Paul, there is a greeting that he absolutely loves to give, and it's in Romans chapter 1 at the end of verse 7, and that greeting is grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I've called the message this morning, Grace to You and Peace. And I'd like to read Romans 1. I'll read from verse 1 through verse 7. But we're just going to be focusing primarily on that last phrase in verse 7. Paul writes, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom also you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all those who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, and here it comes, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might think, Greg, do you honestly think Paul spends that much time thinking about it? I do. Because if this is the only time he used that greeting, we might say, well, that's just kind of what he said that one time. But he gives the exact same greeting in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, and again in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, and again in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, and again in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, and again in Philippians 1, 2, and Philemon 3, word for word, the identical greeting. And if that's not enough, with just the slightest bit of change, 2 Thessalonians 1, 2, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then again we read in Titus 1, 4, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. You say, why do you think these nine greetings matter? Because they're different than the way most people greeted people. We have copies of letters that were written, just everyday letters from this era. In fact, we have within the Bible, we have recorded for us how people would write letters. And we know that the typical greeting in the Greek language, the typical salutation, was simply, we would just say, greetings. You would identify who you were, you would identify the person to whom you were writing, and then you would simply say what I guess we would translate as greetings. Paul takes that word, greetings, and he changes it. And he changes it to the word grace. Because Paul is absolutely consumed with grace. Sometimes if you ask somebody, what do you think is Paul's favorite word? Many would say it's grace. The word grace occurs over 150 times in our New Testament. Approximately 100 of those are used by Paul. And if you count where he uses it more times in Romans than any other letter. You say, why do you think he would write that? Well, remember, he's writing to believers. Let's make sure we're clear on that. I want to review verse 6 in the first half of verse 7 in Romans 1. Paul is writing verse 6 to those that are called of Jesus Christ. Whom does Christ call for salvation? Believers. Verse 7, to all who are beloved of God in Rome. Who are those who are loved by God in a special way? Believers. And then again in verse 7, he's writing to those called as saints. Who are the saints? Believers. And what does Paul write to believers? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? It's very clear. Two simple reasons. Number one, because believers need grace. If I asked you to define grace, what would you say? I think we all know it's something unearned or it wouldn't be grace. It's undeserved or it wouldn't be grace. It's freely given or it wouldn't be grace. Yet oftentimes we think of it as God's unmerited favor in giving the gift of salvation. And that is absolutely true. If you have not been forgiven of your sin, I wish you God's grace. We could call this salvation grace. But remember, Paul is now writing to believers. They already have salvation grace, if you will, and he's wishing them grace. You say, "What? How do we define it then?" I think a very common way to define it would be just by saying we need God's supernatural help. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, I hope you have. I hope that you've repented of your sin and you believe in Jesus and you're now following him. He's your Savior. It's not like, okay, I'm a born-again Christian. God saved me, so now I'm going to live life in my own strength. I'm good. That's not true at all. We need grace as much as unsaved people need grace. We needed God's grace to put faith in Jesus Christ. We now need God's grace to follow Jesus Christ. That's why Paul writes to Christians, and he says, here's my wish. My wish for you is grace. Grace to you. And you say, when Paul wishes that, does it happen? Well, we not only need supernatural help, guys, we know that God provides supernatural help. We need grace as Christians, and God gives us grace as Christians. You say, well, how do we know that God gives us grace? 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, Paul's again writing to believers, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Now, the context here is finances. If you're having a financial challenge in life, this would absolutely be a great text to memorize and meditate on. But I think we can broaden it out. It's certainly true beyond just finances. That God is able to make all grace abound to us. You might say, Greg, my big challenge is not financial so much, it's more physical. Same book, 2 Corinthians, but we'll go to chapter 12 now rather than 9. Paul writes in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Now, Paul records in this text, I think you know, you see it's in quotes, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Paul has a thorn in the flesh. Three times he says, Lord, could you please basically take it away? Just remove the trial from my life. Whatever that trial is, most people believe it's a physical challenge. And what's the Lord's response to Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. You think you need this trial removed from your life? You don't. If you need a trial removed from your life, God will remove it from your life. If you have a trial in your life that's hard, and you say, Greg, man, I wish it were gone, but it's still here, that's because God knows it's best that it's not gone. You say, then God just leaves me. No, no, God doesn't just leave you. God gives you his word, and his word says, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. God will give us as his children the grace we need to make it through any trial in a way that would bring him honor and glory. And Paul knew that, so he could finish the text, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. You say, what did Paul understand? That we need supernatural help, and God provides it. Now, you might say, okay, so how do we get the supernatural help? Well, if it's grace, we can't really do anything to earn it because then it wouldn't be grace. We certainly don't deserve it because then it wouldn't be grace. So I'm going to use the verb access because I thought maybe that would help us. How do we access God's grace? This is actually a review. We had this in a message that Brother Mark brought just not too long ago out of 1 Peter. We access God's grace primarily in three ways. Let's do a quick review. Number one, we access God's grace through God's word. And we know this because Acts 20, verse 32, now I commend you to God in the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified. God's word is a word of grace. You say, why in the world would I spend time reading the Bible? There are many answers to that, but one reason is when you read the Bible, God communicates grace to you. It's a supernatural thing. It's not like reading, I don't know, Shakespeare or great literature. I don't know, the Odyssey, the Iliad, or for that matter, sports scores, okay? As we read God's word, he communicates grace to us. Reading God's word is one way we get God's grace. Secondly, going to the Lord in prayer is a way God gives us grace. So number one, God's word. Number two, God's throne. Hebrews 4:16, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find what? Grace to help. Grace is help. In time of need, whenever we have a time that we need something, what do? We go to God and we pray and we say, Lord, help us. And another way of saying that is, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your grace. And God helps us. But not only God's word, the Bible, God's throne, prayer, number two, but God's people, fellowship, number three. And we know that because of Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. Here it comes, that it will give grace to those who hear. You know what the Bible says? When you're with your brother or sister in Christ, and that brother or sister encourages you and says something that helps you in your work, your walk with God, God actually uses that to help you. And what is help? It's grace. God uses his word, God uses his throne prayer, God uses his people fellowship. That's one of the reasons we come together to worship. Now, the primary reason is to give praise to God. But another reason we worship is to be encouraged. We all need to be encouraged. I was encouraged this morning by the singing. And here I am, and it's not just, I want to be careful how I say this, not just that the singing was so well done, but I'm meditating on the words, and I'm thinking how wonderful God is. And as you all were singing out, you were encouraging me. God was using your singing to minister grace to my heart, and I need that just like you need that. That's how we get grace, okay? So what does Paul do? Paul begins his letters typically the same way every time for the most part. And what is he saying? Grace to you. Grace. Even those who have already put faith in Christ and have the gift of salvation by grace, we still need grace. This weekend, I had the opportunity to help a brother from the church move, and a number of you were there as well. And so here he is, he and his wife closed on a house, and they're moving to another house, and actually in that house now. And they have a whole bunch of stuff to move, so you say, what happens? Well, two pickup trucks pull into his driveway. We back in. We load up those two trucks. We get those two trucks out. Two other pickup trucks pull in, back down his driveway. We load those up. They pull out. Two more pickup trucks pull in, back up. We load up. We got six pickup trucks. Let's go. Let's go to the other house. And then there's maybe 12 people picking up some heavy things, some just boxes. And we get them to the other house. What do? We go back and we do it again. Two, four, six more pickup trucks filled up. Another 12 guys doing whatever. You say, why did you help him? Because he needed help. He could not have, he and his wife could not have moved all of that. And you say, I'll bet you he could. Okay, even if he moved the boxes by himself, I imagine if he took enough time, he could. But there were some really big, heavy things, a freezer, whatever. You can't move that by yourself. You need help. You say, Greg, how did he get help? He asked for it, and he simply said to friends, I'm moving, I need help, can you help me? You say, how do you get grace, Greg? you go to God and you say, God, I'm not doing so well. Can you help me? I have this problem financially. I have this problem physically. I have this problem relationally. I have this problem internally, psychologically, emotionally, whatever it is. Lord, would you please help me? And you know what God does? God does the same thing that hopefully we do for one another. When somebody needs help moving, we say, I'll be there. When we come to God and we say, Lord, will you help me? God says, I'll be there and I'll give you grace. Paul knew that. We all need grace. That's why Paul begins his letters with grace. But there's a second word. You know this, right? It not only says grace to you. Remember, that's not the typical greeting. Normally in Greek, it would just be greetings. Paul changed it to grace. He didn't change the next one. Paul took the standard Jewish greeting of that time. And at the best I know, I've never been to Israel yet. Ward's been there before. And the best I know, they're still using that same greeting. Do people just walk up to you and say shalom? Still, some do maybe? Okay. My understanding is it's been a very traditional greeting among the Jewish people that goes all the way back to Old Testament times, that Jews would just say shalom. What is that? That's peace. Paul modifies the standard greeting of the day from greetings to grace. Then he takes the standard Jewish greeting, shalom. Obviously, he would say it in Greek. And he says grace and peace. Why? Because number one, believers need grace. Number two, believers need peace. Now, certainly peace from a negative standpoint is freedom from anxiety. It's freedom from worry. But it's also not just negative. It's positive. It's God's blessing on your life. It's more than just don't worry, don't be anxious. But there's another side to that coin. It would be enjoy God's blessing on your life, grace and peace. Why would Paul say that? Because he knows what we need. And we as believers need supernatural peace. Now, we often talk about peace in two different ways. And so I thought maybe it would be good to review this, okay? Sometimes we talk about peace with God. And we have to think biblically. True or false? God is angry with all people apart from Christ. True. I mean, we've been reading Romans. We know that. True or false? All people are the enemy of God apart from Christ. It's true. The Bible says it's true. Now, I know most people don't know that. You could walk up to the average person this morning and say, are you an enemy of God? They would go, what are you talking about? But apart from Christ, every single person is an enemy of God, whether he or she knows it or not, because everyone's a sinner. But if your faith's in Jesus, then you're not the enemy of God, because Romans 5:1 says what? Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you have never put faith in Jesus Christ, do you know right now, today, God's still mad at you? And he's right to be angry with you because you're a sinner. And if you say, Greg, I'm not sure I understand that. Well, just read the first three chapters of Romans. But for those of us who have put faith in Christ, what do we have? Romans 5:1. We have peace with God. God's not mad at me anymore. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Jesus, because Jesus went to a cross and he suffered and died in my place. Jesus took my hell. Either I go to hell and suffer forever, or Jesus takes my hell on the cross, and then the Father's not angry with me anymore. I have peace with God. I hope that all of you know Jesus Christ. I hope for more than that. It's not enough to know Jesus Christ. I know that might sound odd to say, but many people have peace with God, but they don't have the peace of God. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul's burden for people was not just that they would have peace with God. Paul wanted people to have the peace of God, the peace that lets you sleep through the night. The peace that lets you look maybe at your bank statement or bills that are due, and you say, you know, by God's grace, it's going to be okay. The peace that lets you think of a relationship that's not going very well, and yet by God's grace, it's going to be okay. Paul's heart was that people would not only have peace with God, but that they would have the peace of God. We all need supernatural peace. And what does God do? He gives it. If you're thinking, Greg, that's easy to say, but the bottom line is, I'm anxious. My soul is anxious. I just have worries, anxieties. Some people would say I have panic attacks. I want to rephrase it just to get us to think a little bit differently, okay? What's a panic attack? It's a lack of peace attack. If you have peace, you'll never have a panic attack because you can't peacefully panic, right? Do you see what I mean? I'm just trying to get us to think about it from the other side. I'm not making fun. I speak as somebody who worries, right? I'm just like you. I worry. And then ask God to forgive me. But there are times where things are happening and I'm not thinking about God's grace. If I'm really thinking about God's grace and coming to Him for help, what do? I experience peace, you say, but how? Well, we've already looked at Philippians 4:7. I want to look at it again, but I want to put one verse earlier, and maybe this will help. Philippians 4, this time 6 and 7. Paul writes, be anxious for nothing. That's an anxiety attack. Don't worry. Ever. And it's pretty easy to say, wonderful, Paul, you're telling me what not to do. Give me something positive. What should I do? And he does. But in everything, no exceptions, by prayer and supplication, both of those mean I'm coming to the Lord and praying and asking for help. Remember, help is grace. With thanksgiving, there's always something to be thankful for. Let your requests be made known to God. You say, what does that mean? That means you say, Lord, help. But help is grace. So we could just say, Lord, grace, grace. Lord, grace, please. Life is hard. Grace, please, grace. Can I have grace? And what happens? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It surpasses all comprehension. Most people say, I don't get it. How does that work? Think about it. You have a financial problem. You have a physical problem. You have a relationship problem. And you're anxious. And that's a normal thing. And we struggle with that. And then God helps you. And you say, Lord, grace, please, grace. Would you help me, grace? And God gives you grace. And after you're finished praying, God gives you grace. And then you say, hey, I'm not anxious. You still have a financial problem. You still have a physical problem. You still have a relationship problem. None of your circumstances have changed, but you've changed. You say, what changed? What changed is you got God's grace. And God gives it to those who ask. The result of grace is peace. There's a reason Paul always says grace to you and peace. You say, why doesn't he say peace to you and grace? Because the peace comes from the grace. The grace doesn't follow the peace. It's always that way. Just a silly, simple. I like simple illustrations to make points. And I realize that the illustration I use is basically a very low-level illustration. But yesterday, you know, I had a wonderful morning, and I came out to church. We had men's Bible study, and I enjoy our men who come out and praying with you and fellowshipping with you, and even after sharing prayer requests with one another. It's a great blessing to me. Then we have an opportunity just to help and do some things around the church property. And then I have the joy of spending the afternoon just working on a sermon and doing church-related things, and that for me is enjoyable. And then I'm thinking, okay, I haven't been out to cut the grass for a couple of weeks. It's kind of tall. I just should have enough time. I can cut the grass, get cleaned up a little bit, and go downtown, make a hospital visit, get home right before the sun goes down. And so here I am. Back grass is cut, praise the Lord. I'm just starting the front. And my lawnmower dies. It just dies. It's just like gave up the ghost, okay? And it had gas in it. My first thought was, like, I thought I checked the gas. It was filled with gas. And my second thought was, oh, no, I didn't check the oil before I started. Now, I just changed it recently, but I checked it. It had oil in it. And I thought, oh, that's good. Well, here I am, and most of the front is not cut. And I'm thinking I'm going to have to go in pretty soon and get cleaned up and make a visit. Not that I have to make a visit. I want to make the visit. And I'm so thankful that God gave me grace, because many times in my life that has happened. And my first thought is, oh, this is great. Right? This is great. Like, Lord, you know, it's been a great day. And all I want to do is study your word and try to be a blessing to people and go to a hospital and pray for somebody. Lord, this would not be like the time I would pick for the lawnmower to stop, okay, in case you were wondering. But thankfully, and it's all by God's grace, at least yesterday at that moment in time, I wasn't in selfish mode. And by God's grace, it stopped, and I just kind of thought, you know, God is so good. God is so good. And I don't know exactly what's going on, but God is so good. And I just kind of, I checked the oil and I looked at the motor. I didn't know what to really look at. I pulled out the air filter and shook dirt out of it a little bit. And I thought, oh, well, if it starts, it starts. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Either way, God is so good. And I just turned the key again. It started. And I thought, okay, I don't know how long it's going to run, but let's go. Let's knock this grass out. And I finished cutting it. Now my point is, the stories don't always end well. I'm thankful that that happened. And when I went out to make a visit, I picked up a fuel filter, a couple spark plugs. I don't know. I thought maybe that would be good to try. But the point I'm making is, by God's grace, I didn't worry. Many times I do. But I just thought, hey, if the lawnmower's gone, it's gone. And that's okay, because God is good. And that's all that really matters. You say, how do you, now, low-level illustration. Okay, I know. But even with the little things, you say, Greg, how do you do that? It's all by God's grace. And when God gives you the grace to do that, you say, what's the result? The result is peace. God's people need grace. God's people need peace. That's why Paul's beginning all of these letters, grace to you and peace. Our conclusion this morning, pretty simple. Grace to you and peace. I don't know if that would be weird to start talking that way, you know? Like, sometimes people quote the Bible and you know, and it could just kind of turn you off or something, in the sense, like, who are you pretending to be? Like, do you think you're Paul or something? Obviously, I don't know if that happens or not. I just wondered, though, what it would be like if we started saying this. Walking up to people and just saying, hey, grace to you and peace. And I don't know, maybe that would be good if the Lord would lead you to do that, if you believe it would bring him glory, that we would, even if we don't say it verbally, we'd be praying it for the people we encounter. Grace to you and peace. I end this message with this. I wish you peace. Peace with God. If you have not repented of your sin, you're God's enemy. You are under God's judgment. But you don't have to be. By God's grace, you can have peace with God. And I wish you that. My wish to you is, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you're still the enemy of God, I wish you peace with God, by God's grace. You say, Greg, how could I have that peace? It's all by grace. That you would repent of your sin and believe that God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, came into this world, lived a perfect life, went to a cross, died in your place, not only died and was buried, but rose again the third day, ascended into heaven, one day is coming back. You might say, Greg, I don't want that. I pray by God's grace, He'll make you want it. You say, I don't believe that. I pray by God's grace, He'll bring you to the place where you do believe that. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I wish you peace with God by God's grace. And if you understood how wonderful His grace is, you would run to Christ right now and you would say, oh Lord, I need peace with You. Please forgive me of my sin. Please save me. And if you have not yet done that, there's no doubt in my mind, it's just because you don't know Him. And you say, well, I don't think of Him as being gracious. That's because you don't know Him. And if you said to me, Greg, you don't know what's happened in my life, I would say, I want to be respectful, but you don't know God. Because regardless of what's happened in your life, I know God, and He is a gracious God. And by His grace, you don't have to be His enemy. You could have peace with God. I trust we know Christ. For those of us who do, I trust all. I wish you the peace of God by God's grace. My heart towards every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ, just to be frank, that none of you have to have a few drinks of alcohol to go to sleep at night. That none of you are taking anti-anxiety medication. That none of you are breaking down with anxiety attacks. No, let's call them lack of peace attacks. My wish is that would not be true of any of us. And let me quickly say, if you say, but Greg, that is true of me. I understand, I'm a sinner just like you. But my wish for you is that you would know the peace of God. Paul's wish for you is that you would know grace and peace. And they're always in that order. Grace and peace. The peace of God for those of us who have peace with God. As always, if I can be of help to you, if you'd want to talk to me after the service, or just grab me in the hallway. I'll be down at the activity center right after this service. If you shoot an email to me, contact the office and I'll get in touch with you. It doesn't have to be me. There are elders here that would love to greet you for coffee or have coffee with you. Ladies, an elder and his wife, or another lady from our congregation. If you would like to talk to somebody about your need of grace and the peace that comes after it, the invitation's always open. Our wish for you is grace and peace. Let's pray.